Good evening, First Baptist. Let me welcome you to our time of worship and opportunity to share the Word of God with you today. I pray that you've had a good day. I pray you had a good Lord's Day this morning. I pray that you could come out and be part of us at our worship service on Sunday morning. We would love to see you as we battle through all the circumstances that we face daily, but I'd like to see you back in church if possible. It just strengthens our body and strengthens each other. We kind of get used to things that being out of church for a long time is a new way of starting over again. So let me encourage you to make that commitment. I know you love your church. I know many of you have been faithful for years. But we miss you, and we pray for the opportunity to be back together as soon as possible when you are able to be here. I'd like to preach tonight about Ezekiel. Ezekiel is, as I read the major prophets in the Old Testament, he's probably one of my most enjoyable people to read. He has a lot of moving targets and expressions in his sermons and in his ability to communicate. Let me put us in scene with that. Ezekiel is preaching to the northern captivity, to Israel. They've been in captivity for 70 years, Babylon. And the reason why they're in captivity is because of defiance with God. God finally winked one time and it was over, and now his punishment's been pretty severe. I told you Sunday morning as we preached about America and all that we're going through, my biggest concern that I really see isn't how we're going to get through this with America. My concern is how God's going to deal with us through this process. And my concern isn't so much how we're going to pay back all the money we owe. My concern is the children paying for all the sins that we as the adults have led in this culture throughout the years. As Babylon's children have been in captivity for 70 years, can you imagine all they're going through? So I pray that America, God, continue to bless us and bring us back into the fullness and continue to give us grace to continue to go forward. But we pray for us spiritually to begin to grow and mature in our faith. If America ever needed the New Testament church, today's the day. Today's the day. There's been a lot of dark days. I can't imagine living in the Civil War era in America. The battle and the death and the tolls was horrendous. I'm thankful for President Lincoln at that time, who was willing to be man enough to trust God to stand. But boy, the pain had to be suffering. America's had a lot of dark days, difficult times, but God continues to bless America. I pray for this blessing to come back to us, and I do believe it'll take the New Testament church to bring it all into fullness into the world to understand and to see again. So he counts on us. He counts on his bride to represent him. You know, we're the salt of the earth, and we're the light of the world, we as his church. I heard a preacher preach one time, the problem with salt, most of it is in a salt shaker. And it means nothing to us that somebody takes up that salt shaker and turns it upside down and shakes it. He said this, in order for God to turn the world upside down, he must turn the church inside out. And so we somehow or another got to get the salt out of the shaker. And we are the salt. We've been sitting on a shelf, maybe getting kind of lazy, maybe taking it for granted. But if you're going to be the salt of the earth, God needs to take us and shake us upside down into a world that needs to be preserved by the grace of Christ. So let me encourage you to think about that. Now, keep in mind, he is preaching to a group of people who have been in a penalty box, slavery, for 70 years. This is God's children. This is God's people. This was the Israelites. And Ezekiel 37. But I was reading, I read through this book this week, and I come to a verse that meant a lot to me as a pastor. God asked Ezekiel, he signed him. He was the prophet of the day in a difficult time. Can you imagine preaching to your people while you're in slavery, while you're in bondage? And so he says, Ezekiel, I want you to go out and be the man. In chapter 3, verse 7, he's got his instructions by God to be the preacher. You know, as a preacher, sometimes we get to preach, and sometimes we have to preach. But we always must preach the word of God with power and fervor. And so Ezekiel was in that position. It was hard to preach. It's hard to preach to people in captivity and are suffering. Suffering people, it's hard to minister and how to do that and how to bring about a healing after 70 years of this pain and suffering. What's going on? And this is what God told Ezekiel. He says, not too many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language. These words you cannot understand. Surely had I said to you, to them, that they shall listen to you. So he gave them a message. God put the message on Ezekiel's heart. He says, I want you to go preach the message. It's a hard message, but preach it. And then he gives him kind of some little comfort. But the house of Israel will not listen to you. Now, how would you like to be the preacher? And God asks you to go proclaim his truth, but also preferences, they're not going to listen. So, I don't know, I may slip in that day. I may just try to stay in and say, well, God, they're not going to listen while I go. Then he goes on to say, this is what the important part. See, whenever we're going through a tough time, we make it personal, like God somehow knows after us. But you know what? He's never after us. He loves us. He died for us. He cares for us. He loved Israel. But he's trying to teach them a lesson about disobedience. He says, because the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. When I spoke to them, and when I ministered to them, they didn't listen to me. They went far away. We've been through a long time with these people. I mean, Noah came, and the whole world died one time because they couldn't listen. Now they're in slavery. But he says, remember this, they won't listen to you, they wouldn't listen to me. For all of the house of Israel is impudent and hard-hearted. Now, impudent and hard-hearted, they're just hard. And the word of God will not permeate, but I want you to keep preaching. I don't want you to quit. Because if God has done anything, he's chosen the foolishness of preaching to profound the wise. Now, think about that. If I was God and I wanted everybody to know exactly what I wanted, man, I'd ride in the clouds. I would send the power of something, but trust a human being is a lot of favor, a lot of grace, and a lot of love. And so I've thought about this. Think about all the preaching that's going on in the world today and how many has really benefited the kingdom and sometimes benefit themselves. But God allows the foolishness of preaching to profound the wise. So now he's got his assignment. He's to go out to the people and shake it upside down. He's got to go out there to repair them in a very special way. And he wants to teach them to live by faith and not by sight. Now, when we see the impossible become possible, it's the glory of God being revealed in their eyes. Now, they're going to see Israel come back. As Ezekiel continues to write, he begins to spend in the end of chapter 37 as the very conclusion when God is restoring Israel to come back to its identity, is its leadership, as his people of God. He's getting him ready for that. And today's message will help us understand that. So we look at this. It doesn't make a lot of common sense, but boy, when God speaks, he speaks in a very special way. And so he wants to bring a blessing to the house of Israel. And so he sends Ezekiel out. And he's looking to operate to bring people, the salt of the earth, back together again. In verse 37, let me read to you in the hard times. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley that was full of bones. Now, Ezekiel has assignment to go preach to bones. Now, here's the analogy. Nation of Israel was just like dry bones. They were disconnected. They weren't alive spiritually. They weren't anything. They were so far away from God, lived in captivity, and their spiritual world had been upside down. He said, I want you to go preach to dry bones. Now, on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning in my life when I've been able to bless to be preached, sometimes I'm preaching to dry bones. Sometimes I'm preaching to the salt and love of people. But the idea of life is the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It can minister to anybody, anytime, anywhere. You must remember that. I don't care where you are with God. Truth is still truth. Love is still love. And God's loving his people. He says, now, Ezekiel, your target audience is dry bones. These people have been away from me for years. They're dead spiritually. They know nothing and care nothing about me. But I want you to go and help them. Now, he didn't send them $1,000. He didn't send them cattle. He sent them a preacher to help them to learn about the power and the love of Christ. So that was his order, God's man to go and be what God wants him to be. And when the Spirit of God touches our being, things begin to happen. He says, I went and brought you out in the Spirit of the Lord and sat down in the midst of the valley full of dry bones. You know, when God blesses us spiritually, there's more than you could ever imagine. When God has given us all of his blessings in the right order of our life, things begin to bless. Now, think about this. In Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll add all the blessings to our lives. If we would just seek God, just like Ezekiel was trying to get this population of people to seek the Lord, to seek it through the Spirit of God. If we would just seek him, man, the blessings is phenomenal. You know, you think about all that God wants to do to bless us, all that he can do to bless us, and he wants to do that. But there's a problem called sin. We don't like to deal with it. We don't like to touch it. It involves people. It hurts people. But let me tell you something. Sin, God hates. And he wants us to live a life through redemption and the power of his Spirit. So Ezekiel didn't go as a lone ranger. He went in the power of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Let me share this with you. On Sunday morning, when you get up to teach a Sunday school class, the same Spirit of God that Ezekiel had is the same Spirit of God that you have. And the greatest thing I can tell you, when I stand up to preach on Sunday morning, the same Spirit that blessed Ezekiel and called Ezekiel out is the same Spirit in my life. We somehow don't want to think that the prophets had a little special edge or the disciples had a little special blessing in their life. Man, they lived by faith. They were common, ordinary people like you and I who were sinners, who made mistakes. But God wanted to spiritually endow them to seek first the kingdom of God and let him add all the blessings into our lives. So now we see that Ezekiel is out ready to go in a graveyard. Now, if you're going to be preaching to bones, it's got to be in a graveyard. He's there. But did God cause him to do that, to be there? And then in verse 2, and then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in that open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. He caused me. I want you to understand this. The Spirit can cause you and I to do the right thing. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit caused him to move into a valley of dry bones and preach. I wonder what you're preaching that day to dry bones. It caused him to go to meet his people. Now, I want to help you to know that maybe you today are kind of dry spiritually. Maybe you're kind of coarse and you're not at your best. But I want to tell you something. God can take dry bones and make them alive again. God can take the brokenness and make it work again. God can take his love to help us to cause again to do his will in our lives. So the world is full of dry bones. But Jesus come. In John 10, he's come to give us life and more abundantly. The devil's come to seek, kill, and destroy. Isn't he having a big heyday today? Think about what the devil is doing in America, around the world. I mean, the churches are in a difficult season. Maybe the lowest times it's been in years. We've been separated. The devil is having a good time. But right in the middle of this horrible moment, in the dry bones, God wants us to know that he's still there. That we're the church. We somehow know to take that salt shaker and God turn us upside down so it can permeate the world because God can take the salt and make the bones work again. Now, when we find life, things begin to happen. In verse 3, and he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Now, when you're preaching to an audience, God, can they get it? Will they change? God says, and you know. God knows. Let me share this with you. God knew a long time ago that I was going to be a preacher. His knowing didn't make me be a preacher, but he knew I was going to be a preacher. Let me tell you something. What's God had planned for you? Where are you at in your walk of Christ? He planned for you to be a great husband, a great wife, a children of God. He chose for us to love the Lord and forgive one another and forgive our enemies and turn the cheek and go the extra. That's his plans for our lives. Now, sometimes we don't meet that plan. Sometimes we walk far away from God. It's a miserable place to be. Let me tell you with you. If you're not in full fellowship with God today, it is a miserable place to get. You know, I don't care how much America sends us money. I don't care how we try to fix our problems. Until God fixes it, it'll never be right. It'll never be full of power and peace and love. So he asks the question, Son of Man, can these bones live? Can he come alive? You know, I've been able to preach in prisons and jailhouses. Some of the darkest places I ever preached is in the prisons in Siberia. I spent a month in Siberia, Russia, preaching to those prisoners. Let me tell you something. I preached to the prisoners here in Kentucky for many years. In Siberia, when I went to that prison, here in Kentucky, they were living in a Holiday Inn and didn't even know it. If they seen what a prison was like in Siberia, it was horrible. I never seen anything any worse in my life. Animals wouldn't live in that prison. And so I went to preach. I wondered, I said, Lord, these people are atheists. They've never been to church. They're in sin. They're in prison. They're punished, like they're in suffering. And you want me to preach to these people? I wonder how effective that will be. Well, I want to tell you something. I'll never forget my experience in a prison in Russia. They had a little room full there prepared for us to come to preach if people want to come. And so they put the word out. There was a preacher to come to preach the Bible about Jesus to them. And if you'd like to come, come. And the prison, I mean, they lined up in the hallways. As far as you could see, here everybody couldn't begin to put them in the room. So they put us on the outside, and I stood up on a big pedestal, and the yard was hot. It was sunny. It was in the middle of summer in Siberia. And I preached Jesus to those people. I'll never forget. I had a Gideon there. Found a Gideon in Siberia, Russia. Isn't God good? I mean, I found the word of God that we could give out. And so I had a Gideon come, and he brought 500 Bibles. And I said, my word. I said, I haven't given away 500 Bibles in my life. That'd be a great day. He said, preacher, they've never had preaching in this prison in their life. And I'm so excited from here. I believe we'll give everyone away. I preached the gospel to those dry bones, and they were dry. They were very dry. And I watched God put this together. I watched God begin to move. When I was preaching, I could see him move. I could see it coming together as I'm going to read in the text. I could see their expressions. I could see the emotions of the crowd. And it wasn't long. They were breathing. They were working. And I asked them how many would become a Christian that day who would like to receive Christ by faith who rose from the dead. There was over 1,000 hands went up. I stood there in awe. Who am I? Who would have thought? In the driest bones I've ever seen in my life in a prison in Siberia, Russia, to see a move of God. You know what happened? That little fellow that was there with the Gideon Bible, they about killed him. Because they all wanted a Bible and they only had 500. We had a stand up and I brought the warden in. I said, now just tell him relax that this Gideon will go back home and he'll bring more Bibles. So just remember, everybody's going to get one because they're ready to fight because they can get a Bible. Here they were excited about Jesus and now they're ready to fight. But anyway, and so that Gideon let me know before I left Russia. He gave away 1,200 Bibles to the prisoners in Kurgan, Russia, in Siberia. Dry bones. And so, they don't listen to you, Ezekiel. They haven't listened to me, but keep preaching. One day, these bones are going to get it. So, I got to remember that. I got to practice that. I got to see how good God is. And I just know that God will take the foolishness of the Word of God and teach in His Word, discipling His Word. Let me speak to Sunday school teachers. You must be discouraged. You haven't taught your class. The children's teachers who haven't taught their class, you didn't get to see their little smiles and their hugs, and you don't get to see the lights come on in their life. But I want to thank you for still praying for them, for contacting them. even in the midst of not being together. I want to tell you that God will take those bones and put them back together again. But you as a leader, as a teacher, a servant of God, who watch America become darker and darker, remember the greatest enemy of darkness is light. And I'm the light of the world. And let me tell you, in the middle of Man of Cave, it's pretty dark. But all you got to do is just light a little candle. And that candle fights darkness real good. It'll drive it back. And so we must learn from Ezekiel what God was doing. See, in this end of Ezekiel, God is bringing restoration. He's getting ready to free them back into the kingdom's work. But he's got to get them out of the bones. He's got to get them living again. And so in verse 4, again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm thinking about getting up Sunday morning, First Baptist. Okay, dry bones, let's hear the word of the Lord today. Let's just hear what God has to say. He begins to speak to them. He says, I will put sinews. Sinews is a tissue that connects the muscle and the skin to the bone. It's a fiber that of a tissue. He says, I'm going to put the tissue back on that bone, because if that sinew wasn't there, the flesh would just fall off. The muscle would just fall off. I have put that tissue back there so these bones could be able to have a muscle, be have skin, that they can become normal again. He said, I begin to preach to them and bring the flesh upon them, cover you with the skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I don't know how many times I have preached to people and their bones was dry. And they walked down an aisle and I can see God attaching that skin to that heart. I can see that heart begin to pump for God. I can see everything beginning to change. They walk into that congregation that morning and they were broken. They were dry. And the Spirit of God, it isn't a preacher. It isn't a song. It's the Spirit of God who uses the song, who uses the preaching, who uses the love, who uses the fellowship. And all of a sudden that brokenness, they walk down those aisles and give their life to Jesus. That is wonderful. And God wants us to know that he is in that business. I have seen LaGrange prisons. I've seen hundreds upon hundreds of these criminals who are dry bones. Invite them to come to a worship service. And stand there and weep and cry and say, God just touched my life. I'm breathing again. I got hope again. I want to talk to my children again. It's amazing what God does when we let the Spirit of God speak. And the preacher and the teacher, the discipler, the Word of God must be brought alive today in our kingdom. And so now the Lord has begun to build the body. In verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, a sudden rattling, and the bones together, bone to bone. The bones connected. I was in a church in Indiana several years ago, and I was preaching. There was a lady sitting back there, and I think the bones were coming together. Yeah, I could just see her. You could just see her body just coming alive. I'd seen her cry. And I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I didn't know anybody in that place. I was a visiting preacher. I was an evangelist that night. And all of a sudden, she stood up in the middle of that congregation. And she declared, God just touched me. He's brought my heart back into my chest, is what she said. That's exactly what Ezekiel's going to do. Things haven't changed. See, we're dry spiritually. Bones are separated. Relationships are broke. In a matter of just a second, God can make it work again. Now, Ezekiel hadn't seen that. He'd been prophesying. He'd been a preacher for a long time. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of this graveyard, God showed Ezekiel who God is. God says, I know. Ezekiel, how's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? God says, I know. So, aren't you glad Ezekiel preached that day? I'm tickled to death. I'm tickled to death. There's a story in this Bible that preacher could have walked out. That preacher could have said, no, I quit. I remember one Sunday morning, I got up and it was early that morning and I was just in a bad way. It wasn't, you know, I can blame everybody for being in a bad way, but the reason I was in a bad way is because I wasn't walking with God. It was on me. It wasn't on nobody else. And I said, Kath, we've been going to church a long time, for many years. I said, I don't think I'm going to church today. I think I'm just going to call somebody, and I've never called anybody in my life on Sunday morning to preach, but I'm just going to call somebody, and I'm just not going. My wife looked at me and says, yes, you are. I said, why? She says, you're the preacher. And man, it hit me right between the eyes. See, even when I didn't want to, I still needed to. Even when I didn't think it'd work or I would work, God still worked. And so I want you to know, you're the Christian. You're the believer. You may not want to. You may not want to go. You may not want to forgive. You may not want to be in fellowship. But God's got bigger plans than yours. He knows more about it than you do. And the preaching of God's word is what he uses to connect us and bring us back to the work of God in our lives. Remember, the salt shaker that's full of salt is worthless. Somebody's got to turn us upside down and shake us so the world can find God. And that's what Ezekiel was doing. He was shaking these bones. They begin to come together. There was a rattling, bone to bone. In verse 8, indeed I looked. The sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath to breath as on these slain, that they may live. Now, I know what that's mean when you have walked far away from God. Man, we need to have the God to put us back together again and to love again. You know, when I'm hurt and I'm mad, it's my love affection that changes everything. And I fall out of love. Sometimes I get so mad, I just don't care. Sometimes I become so hurt and anger of brothers and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think they'll ever listen to me and all that kind of stuff, have those pity parties. You know, the problem with my pity party, I'm the only one who shows up. No one else comes. Pity party is just a lonely place to be. I've had them, and you have them. You may be having one right now today. But I want you to know, God's got a plan for your bones. He's got plans for your dryness. He's got a plan for your brokenness. And here's the plan. One day, you can love again. One day, you can trust again. One day, that you can love your neighbor again. And one day, you'll experience the love of Christ in your life. So as he's preaching to these dry bones, he wants us to understand, he wants us to bear arms that we can love and penetrate the world with the love of Christ. You know, anybody can quit. Now, quitters are a dime a dozen in a Baptist church. They're everywhere. They quit this, they quit that. You know, I remember back years ago when I first started preaching, people would get mad and they just walk out, just quit. Nowadays, they get mad. And for the year, they sit there and they sull and sull and sull, and then they leave. I just want you to know, when you're broken and not loving people, you need the help of God in your life. You need to bring it together again. How can I do this? By the power of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Ezekiel began to work into their lives. When he says, how can these bones live? Let me take you back. How can these bones live? How can I love again? Do you know, Brother Ron, what that dead person did to me? Cut me so bad. I'm so broken. I could never love again. But I want to tell you something. God's got bigger plans than that. He can allow you to love again. He can allow you to trust again. He's the God. He's the only God in the world that can take the worst part of your life and bring good out of it. The devil takes the worst part of our life and just continues to make it worse. But God can take the biggest pain and use it for his glory. And use it for your benefit. Ezekiel found the way that God was going to do that. Remember his spirit. The spirit gives us the right. And in the field of life, in those very valleys, he begins to bless. Then he said, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, as saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath and breath, and be slain, that they may live again. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. They stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. He went into a graveyard. He preached a message. and he found the army of God. They were battle ready. They were seasoned. Let me tell you something. When you get down, it's so easy to get down and stay down. But God has plans for you. He wants to understand his forgiveness and his grace is so big, you can get up. In the Hall of Fame, in chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, he lists all his Hall of Famers. And you know why they're in the Hall of Fame? They weren't perfect. As a matter of fact, I did a series on that years ago. Every one of those people in the Hall of Fame had a horrible sin in their life. Moses committed murder. I mean, the sin list was forever. Now, let me tell you something. When you are on a sin list, when you're in the backside of the desert for 40 years because of your sin hiding, because of your brokenness, here's what made Moses great. Not that he sinned, but he allowed Jesus to restore him to the fullness. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how hurt you are, how broken you are. But why don't you let God restore you? Why don't you have enough faith in God that he is a resurrection? He is a restorer. He'll change your life. Here, Ezekiel preached. It all came together. There was an exceedingly great army. I pray for First Baptist Church, Brandenburg. Haven't seen you. There's a lot of things going on in our life. Let me tell you something. When God put together a church, it's the army of God's people. It's the lovemakers of our world and our kingdom. You know, when our churches are low and hurting, there is no help for the kingdom. We got to be the army of God. You may be just a buck private. You may be going through basic training. You may be only doing 20 push-ups right now. You need to get to 25. I don't know where you are. I don't know how weak you are. But God has plans for you to become a powerful army of God, and we need you. We can't do it without you. When God saves you, he places in churches that pleased him because you're part of the army. Maybe you're just carrying the water. I don't know what you're doing, but you've got to be in the army of God. Let me read these couple of verses as I close. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and ourselves are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'Thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come forth from your graves and bring you to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, that I have opened your graves and my people and brought you out of your graves to live for me in the land of Israel.'" Let's get out of this brokenness. Let's get out of this slavery. Let's go forward. He preached these bones. Things begin to happen. Now, I clipped an article years ago on the Western Recorder. I just found it this week, and let me read it to you. America buys Bibles, but don't know what it says. Birmingham, Alabama, the BP, the writer of that day. United States is saturated with copies of the Bible, but few know its content or understand its significance or its message. American Bible Society leader. In the United States, the Bible has become a multi-billion dollar industry, said our president of the American Bible Society. Yet some Christians who are in the church on Easter Sunday don't know what they are worshiping. Given these circumstances, the most effective way to share the gospel and message in the U.S. today is through a personal witness, she said. I believe the sharing of the love of Christ works best when it shares face to face, touch to touch, person to person, community to community. See, they don't read the Bible, so they need to see the Bible. And how will they ever know God if we can't tell them? So I'm thankful that we have the Bible today, but America doesn't know the Bible. They don't know Ezekiel. They don't know how God works in a graveyard. They don't know how God puts us together, but you do. I'd like for you to do more than coming to church. I'd like for God to turn us upside down and shake us so we can penetrate our whole community. Fathers, if you would penetrate your children and your marriage and your wife, it will make all the difference. And if you just ask God to do that, Ezekiel's, God told them they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to do anything, but just keep doing it. Over in chapter 37, He finally sees it happen. Don't quit until your family is where God wants it to be. And guys and gals, may you read your Bibles. May you talk. May you pray. Thursday night, our grandchildren stay with us on those nights, and we take care of them the next day when their parents are working. And Jennifer is high energy. She's our little Chinese gal, but boy, she is high energy. And Kathy and the kids, they love playing games. They're a games player. Kathy's got 100 games of playing games and stuff. That night I played some games, but I had to stop. I had to go down to work on a funeral message. I was down in my office working, and Jennifer come down and says, Grandpa, are you going to play with us? Well, I said, Jennifer, I'm done playing. I can't play no more. I need to work a little bit, so I'll be up later. She says, no, Grandpa, you need to come play with us. And I said, Jennifer, I can't. I got to do this right now. She started crying. I said, Jennifer, what is the big deal? She says, Grandpa, you always pray with us. She wasn't saying playing. That's what I heard. She was saying praying. And when I told her I couldn't pray with her, it broke her heart. It did. As soon as I found out how communication was so messed up, I stopped everything. And I walked up there and I sat down with my little grandchildren, Dimitri and Jennifer and Kathy and I, and we prayed. You know the reason why Jennifer wanted me to pray? Because her mommy wasn't doing very good, and she wanted to make sure we prayed for her mommy. I just want you to know. I don't know where you are, but if you could just pray by the Spirit of God and touch people's lives, man, your bones will come together. They'll work. It'll be a blessing, and you'll change lives. See, people don't know the word, but my Jennifer knew prayer works, and she couldn't go to sleep because the preacher wasn't going to pray. Her grandpa wasn't going to pray. Here's what I did. I talked to her daddy. Her daddy's a good Christian man, loves the Lord. It's kind of quiet. I said, Ronnie, I want you to think about this. I know you encourage your children spiritually, but do you pray with them? Daddies, if you really want your children to have a good night's rest, pray with them. They'll sleep better. They'll feel forgiven. They'll feel hope. Daddies, put the bones back together. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you're broken. Mamas, let's put the bones together in your family and watch God breathe again through your family. Watch God penetrate the world through your family. And may God do great works with you, because He is a God who does great works through His people. Ezekiel got it. They got it. And we're in a pandemic, and we need to get it too. Amen? So God bless you. Pray, read your Bible, walk in the Spirit, love again, because God showed us how He put Israel back on the map again. And I pray He keeps America on the map by His grace and by His love. Let me pray with you as we close out today. Father, it's so important to trust You. It's so important to allow You to touch our brokenness and be revived. It's so important for the Word of God to be the mediator, and Father, to be the presence of Your Spirit. So Father, if they will not read the Bible, maybe we can explain the Bible by the love we have for them with the power of God in our hearts and our lives. Use us, bless us, and Father, in the valley of dry bones, there's a lot of hope, because God loves those bones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.